Rolling.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1280, April 4th, 2024. Third day in a row. 81 degrees on this day in 1921. It was 5 degrees in 1995. And I want to remind you that our friends Aquaside are back for the summer swimming season. And if you have a little difficulty at the old swimming hole with weeds or algae or decaying dock planks or whatever the hell you want to get out of there, Aquaside has the products that'll have your water looking clear and clean, and the kids won't be afraid to go in there. It'll be gin colored. And when you look at the sand, it'll be rippled.
Yeah, gin colored.
Free of weeds and algae. The products are easy to use, they work quickly, and they're registered with the EPA and DNR, so they're completely safe. Call Aquaside today. They'll help you identify your weed problem and make sure your place looks great all summer long. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com, and they bring us today's ice outs. Minnetonka went out on this day in 1860, 1942, 1966, 1973, 1990. White Bear Lake went out on this day in 1929, 1973, and also in 1990. Aren't these lovely reminders of the rhythm of life and nature? That's why I do ice outs.
That's what you I don't. Do
I feel I owe it to you to remind you that life is a beautiful circle of endless ice outs. Things of that nature.
The flashlight, King.
Yeah, goodbye.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Yesterday, we unfortunately fell into a bit of globe talk, and we're trying to figure out where we would face.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Well, it got us off the rails, but we were trying to determine which direction we'd face standing here if we wanted to go to Australia, and I get a note that says, "Hail the Flashlight King."
Hail you!
Joe, if I want to listen to Garage Logic, first I stand in the kitchen and face northeast. Then I reach into the cabinet in front of me and retrieve a bottle of bourbon so I can tolerate you knuckleheads. Love the show, Jesse. All right, thank you, Jesse.
Okay.
Very nice.
Noted.
Yeah. And we talked to Mark Anderson up in Staples yesterday about the moose story. Yep. And then we were imagining what that newspaper office must be like, because he has a real place to go. They have a building. And I got a great note from Tim Werner, who writes, "I enjoyed very much your interview with Mark Anderson from the Staples World Press. It highlighted that sound reporting is actually still being done, albeit maybe not close to the country's tallest buildings. Your musings with Rookie about what a charming small town newspaper office may be like brought back memories of a book that I know you enjoy as much as I do, A River Runs Through It." Oh, I loved it so much.
Yeah.
In the book, Paul McLean works as a reporter for the Helena newspaper in the 1930s. Among my favorite quotes in this area, "Paul was too young to swing an axe or pull a saw all day, and besides, he had decided this early he had two major purposes in life, to fish and not to work, or at least to not allow work to interfere with fishing. When it came to choosing a profession, he became a reporter on a Montana paper. Early then, he had come close to realizing life's purpose, which did not conflict in his mind from those given in answer to the first question in the Westminster Catechism. What is the chief and highest end of man?" Paul was a reporter in Helena, the state capital. "I had gone off and got married," to use my brother's description of this event in my life. "My brother and his editor wrote most of the Helena paper. The editor was one of the last small-town editors in the classic school of personal invective. He started drinking early in the morning so he wouldn't feel sorry for anyone during the day. Jeez. And he and my brother admired each other greatly. The rest of the town feared them, especially because they wrote well, and in a hostile world, both of them needed to be loved by their families and were. Isn't that lovely?
No, it's nice.
That's what the little small
town. Very nice.
May I share a quick story with your... I had a phone conversation with your Monday Night Sports Talk co-host.
Yes.
In which it was brought to his attention that Joe had asked, do you guys got a building at the Staples World Press?
Yeah.
And he goes,
you got a little chuckle out of that?
We're having the...
Turns out he jumped ship at the exact right time, didn't he?
We're having the 175th anniversary of the Pioneer Press.
Congratulations. Wow, what a run. This is a big deal.
They booked 2 hours at a brewery.
Hey, now.
Boom. You know, you get out.
Bring your own food?
I don't know.
Potluck?
As long as it wasn't the Hams Brewery that closed the long
time. A ray of hope in Vermont. Joe, you'll probably be surprised to hear that you have a listener in Vermont, also known as Al from Tampa. I have owned a vacation property in Vermont for 20 years, and what I like the most about it is there's hardly any people, unlike the liberal bastion of Minnesota. Vermont is lucky enough to have a Republican governor who I'm sure will not sign any bill proposed regarding fossil fuel consumption taxes. It's one way to keep Bernie and his communist brothers in check. Fighting back from Vermont and Tampa, Al, and he included a picture of the annual balloon festival in Queechy, Vermont.
That would be fun.
It was beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, look at that. Wow. This thing's going way up high.
I had some cool correspondence with Al from Tampa once, and I like the way it ended. He told me how much he enjoyed something I'd said on the air. It was about music. Mm-hmm. And then he ended the email with, and I've always saved this, might be the only thing I agree on with John, though. And a smiley face. Yeah. So.
Well, but that's the beauty of GL.
It is.
Because you don't agree with somebody doesn't mean you can't like them.
And yesterday we were talking about the fossil fuels, as Al just mentioned. And Tim Buck, too, writes, I think he's appointed himself as a kind of a fact checker for GL. He comes up with some very interesting tidbits. Mm-hmm. When fossil fuels were discovered in the 19th century, that was bad news for Captain Ahab, but good news for Moby Dick. Fossil fuels quickly replaced the two most common uses of whale oil, heating and lighting. But one industry continued to use whale oil until the 1970s. Anybody care to guess which industry that was?
The adult entertainment industry.
No.
That was my guess.
Whale oil was used in automotive transmission fluids until 1972.
Come on.
Honest to God, isn't that neat? It was favored by engineers because it was particularly effective at preventing rust. By 1971, 55 million pounds of whale oil were being used annually as automotive lubricants. And because of its very low freezing point, whale oil was also widely used in the aerospace industry. In 1972, its use was banned by the Endangered Species Act. Auto manufacturers were forced to quickly develop new oils for their transmissions. The new oils, however, were much less effective at preventing rust. Transmissions began failing at unheard-of rates. Before 1972, less than 1 million transmissions failed each year. Without whale oil, transmission failures exploded to more than 8 million by 1975. It took several years of research, but scientists eventually developed the modern synthetic oils that we use in transmissions today. It would be fair to say that for many decades, whale oil was a wonderful product in a world of bad lubricants.
Huh. You do realize I was trying to tell you that yesterday and you shut me down.
Yeah.
You were talking about whale oil, heating, and lighting.
And I was trying to continue, and you, like usual, can't stand it when you don't hear the sound of your own voice, so you shut me down.
Did you know that it was used in automotive
I was trying to tell you that.
You didn't know that.
Come on, Joe. You do this all the time to us.
All the time, Joe.
You do it all the time. All we the try time. To tell you something. Right, you shut us down because we're idiots, and then a GLer will write to you and tell you the same thing, and you'll go, see, now, if you guys would make the effort that this guy makes, every day that happens.
You know, whatever they came up with for transmission and differentials and rear axles, that stuff really has a pungent smell. Oil has virtually no smell, the oil you put in your crankcase.
Okay.
But the stuff you put in your gears, that stuff really smells. I don't like it.
Hmm. Derek calls it, when he's checking his transmission, the blood stick.
Yeah.
And if the tranny's leaking, he says there's blood all over under the vehicle.
Kenny, I believe earlier in your response to Joe initially, I believe you and Rookie were thinking of milfoil.
Yes.
When am I not?
Two words.
The play story in today's Star Tribune with two large color photographs is... The headline is New Direction for I-94. And a subhead would be, as MnDOT considers options to update I-94 between St. Paul and Minneapolis, an advocacy group suggests a boulevard. And one picture is a rendering of what I-94 corridor would look like between St. Paul and Minneapolis.
It's so absurd, I can't even keep a straight face.
It's leafy and charming.
Well, that's
and
nice. Yeah. Can I walk down the middle of it?
And then the picture, yes. Of course, is the evil concrete and asphalt of the freeway with actual cars on it. Cars, by the way, the vehicle load on I-94 between St. Paul and Minneapolis every day ranges between 114,000 and 167,000 vehicles per day.
Right.
Yeah.
Per day. We looked up that while the town council was listening to us.
I didn't. There was too much commotion. I decided to stay out of the argument.
4,650 to 6,500 heavy commercial trucks per day. And then throw in the ambulance and the fire trucks and all the emergency vehicles. That's a lot, Joe.
The advocacy group that is imagining this leafy boulevard... I don't even know if they would allow cars on it. In the rendering, there are some vehicles pictured, but so few you would think it was just a beautiful, lazy summer afternoon. And apparently a nuclear threat was issued for the Twin Cities because there's nobody out there on that leafy boulevard. The advocacy group has come up on this show before. They're called Our Streets Minneapolis.
Yep.
Unelected people. They're a 503C outfit. John, what have you discovered about their funding?
As far as their funding goes, the latest numbers come from 2022. They receive grants for the most part, that and donations. For instance, the McKnight Foundation in 2022 gave them a grant of $150,000.
Good Lord.
Move Minnesota gave them $75,000. And another grant from the McKnight Foundation for $150,000. So that's up to $200,000 already. And I also noticed just 2 weeks ago, they received a grant from the federal government of $1.6 million.
Wow.
That's part of the project to bring back 6th in North Minneapolis. That was a grant from...
What do you mean, bring back 6?
When Olson Memorial Highway, it was once 6th Avenue North, diverse Black and Jewish cultural corridor with racial covenants. In 1939, the construction of the highway destroyed every home and business. In May of last year, the city council passed a resolution to remove the North Side Highway. And so it's
which is
trying to lead to that.
An unbelievable development.
They also have events, Joe, where they raise money. Over 100,000 attendees at annual events last year. They raise money from that and donations at that. And they also sell items, hoodies, stocking caps, T-shirts, bags, that sort of thing.
Why don't these big outfits give money to Play for Patrick or Second Store? $1.1 million from the government for that?
Okay, they didn't get the money from the government. They got the money from you. The government doesn't have any money.
Okay, yeah, I got to remember that.
The federal government gave them your money. Their mission statement reads, "Ousters." And remember, they've come up on this show before.
Weren't they the shovel group, the no shovel group?
I think they are a no shovel group and a no car group. And their mission statement reads, "Our Streets Minneapolis works to put people first by transforming transportation and infrastructure in the Twin Cities and at the state level. We do this by making our streets places where people can easily and comfortably walk, bike, roll, and use public transit." I don't think it's hyperbole to say they're opposed to the automobile. "We envision streets and neighborhoods that are vibrant places for people to live, work, and play. We envision communities with people-first transportation infrastructure that is not centered around cars. We envision cities with streets designed to prioritize public health and climate, racial and economic justice for all our neighbors." And then it goes on to say that they create visions and things of that nature. Okay. It's shocking to me that they're getting this much attention on the front page of the newspaper. In a rational world, this is no different than a group of kindergartners asking the city council for a new swing set at the park. They're unelected.
Yeah.
They're young. None of them have contributed to the commerce of America. We've gone through their staff before. Do you recall that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, I sure do. Yep.
The executive director is Jose Antonio Zayas Caban. And he has worked on developing restorative justice campaigns. Well, okay, there's no way to measure if he's had success in doing that. He's also a board member of Streets.mn. I believe he might be from Puerto Rico. Jose is a resident at the U of M Liberal Arts Engagement Hub.
Huh? I'm sorry.
Where he will be working on an essay for the upcoming book, Human Tolls, Public Histories and Community Responses to Twin Cities Freeways, in collaboration with Associate Professor Greg Donofrio and Dr. Ernest Lloyd from the Heritage Studies and Public History Program. He's a performing artist.
Yeah, of
course. He has been awarded a McKnight Artist Fellowship for his work on producing albums with music focused on present-day social issues and the relationship between Puerto Rico and the United States Empire. It's called an empire.
Oh. Empire. Mm-hmm.
Okay, God love you, Jose. You might be very good at whatever you do. I think whatever you do is fairly undefined. The Community Development and Events Senior Manager is Ember Rasmussen, with pronouns they, them. All right. She's passionate about co-creating welcoming spaces with community members that expand imaginations and create meaningful dialogue while integrating art, storytelling, and fun. Come on, lady. That's BS. That means nothing. I'm not trying to be, well, sure I am. I'm trying to be a complete jerk. They have previous experiences in nonprofit development and community events, restaurant management, and theater direction. They have organized 3 seasons of Open Streets Minneapolis events. I think that's where they close a street on a Sunday, and you can only walk on it.
When you say they close, you mean that one gal named they? Or do you mean they as in a group of
The one gal who's a they, she's been part of organizing 3 seasons of Open Streets.
Okay.
And then she lead Our Streets Imagine programming, which includes the mobile museum projects created in collaboration with the University of Minnesota's HSPH program. When not at work, you can find them.
Yeah, I'm getting confused now. It's like first base.
You can find them biking, gardening, gaming, playing music and spending time with their chosen family and their dog, Juniper. Okay, that's two so far. I got to take a break, according to Reavers. But Jose Antonio Zayas Caban and Ember Rasmussen, I'm sure they are passionate, and I'm sure they are very serious about eliminating cars, but their worldview is so narrow that they're not taking into account just the necessary flow of humanity required to produce the kind of money that ends up paying them.
Hmm.
If there were no tax money, Jose Caban and Ember, you wouldn't exist. You wouldn't have this. You'd have to actually find some place to work. Can I take a break, please?
I hope you're going to come back and talk more about the plan itself, aren't you? Because there's so much more to mine here.
I'm coming back, and I want to go through the staff and then talk about the plan because I have deep thoughts.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, the investment game can be awfully tricky, especially in these volatile times, and that's why you need the best. And also somebody that you can trust, and that's why I rely on Josh Arnold. We know him as Mr. Money Talk around these parts, and he's here for you. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute, no-obligation consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Josh has been at this a long time with a track record of success, and he's here to help you. So give him a call today. No obligation. That's right. No obligation. It's absolutely free. 952-925-5608. And tell him you heard about him here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Soucheray.
I don't recognize this one, Chris Reavers.
This is the newsman.
No, it's Dylan.
I thought it was you.
Is it?
Is it about to go 1, 2, 3, 4?
This was what John would use in the outro of the Fret Club podcast.
You're right. It is. Yeah.
All right. Since we're talking cars here, I think it's a perfect time to talk about Mike Schoonover. Three generations of caring for our cars at Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care. That means our Mike Schoonover. Schoony, he has to live up to his grandpa's original pledge of making the customers happy no matter what. Mike is doing a Play for Patrick event today, so he gave the keys to us. If you've been there, oh, by the way, 1060 County E in Shoreview, just a half a hop east of Lexington. Did I say half a hop? That's what I meant to say. You know that every person there at Schoonover's, from Nikki at the front to every gal and guy in the office and shop, they always go above and beyond to make sure your experience is easy and pleasurable, and your vehicle comes back perfect. Being family-owned, that means Schoonover answers only to one person. That's you. And they have just one location in the Twin Cities there in Shoreview. And it's kind of a where they consider you a neighbor. Even if you come all the way across town from, like, say, Minnetonka or as far away as from Duluth, Schoonover wants you as a customer for life. That means the work is completely guaranteed. Oh, and they're going to deal with your insurance company for the body work for you, and they'll keep you updated on the progress during every step along the way. I went back and did a little research in my own life. I've been hooked up with the Schoonover family since 2008. I live 2.5 hours away, and I still deal with Schoonovers exclusively. I want you to get on the internet and check out some of the reviews, Google, CarWise, Yelp, whatever, and you'll find out why Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care is always rated as one of the top shops in the metro. And next time you need anything for your vehicle, get a hold of Schoonovers, and I promise you, you'll go home happy. It's a real simple website to remember, schoonoverbodyworks.com.
Continuing with the staff of Our Streets, Minneapolis, before we get to the deep thoughts, the advocacy and policy manager is Alex Burns, pronouns he, him. Now, what does that mean, I wonder? In other words, that has nothing to do with sexual orientation?
No. Mm-mm.
It does in Ember's case, I'll bet you.
Probably, but yeah, that just means that they prefer that you know what pronouns they like to use.
He's a climate and environmental justice organizer.
Oh.
Okay. He's been a national park ranger. He's an outreach specialist at a sustainable transportation nonprofit. In his free time, he enjoys hiking, biking, and feeding earthworms to his pet salamander, Smokey.
Okay. Smokey. Sounds rewarding.
Carly Ellison is the communications manager. She is she, her. She's had experience in the wellness industries.
Okay.
She's a longtime Minneapolis gal. She's a visual artist. She's passionate about sustainable, joyful commuting. Okay, where are you? Where are all of you imagining that people are commuting to and from? The legislative and community engagement specialist is Raquel City Wagner. She, her. She has worked for a lot of political campaigns, and she's built networks of mutual aid and support for her community. I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but that's meaningless. She is passionate. They all are passionate about work that betters the lives of her neighbors in real and meaningful ways. All right. Good for you. Yasmin Hersey is the advocacy coordinator. She's a she, her. She's passionate. They're all passionate.
They're passionate, okay.
About community organizers and that centers community empowerment and radical imagination of a world where everyone has a chance to thrive. She wants to fight against dominant cultural ideas. Among them, I would imagine, would be commuting.
Sure.
That inform systems of oppression and practices that have continued to hurt marginalized communities. Okay, this is who's bringing you this idea that they want to rip up I-94. Alexa Bobiak, operations and individual giving coordinator. She has a medley of experience. Volunteer coordination, office administration, education. She spends as much time as possible outdoors with her dog, Murphy, even though Murphy might prefer to be sleeping on the couch.
Oh, little joke there.
Furman de Carmen is a she, they. That she's an events and volunteer specialist. She's a program assistant. They bring years of experience doing community outreach, research, and problem solving, and content creation. She's a ceramist. Is that like ceramics? She's a ceramist who enjoys living in Minneapolis with her handsome cat, Palo. And you got Allie Sawyer. She's data analyst. She's thrilled at the opportunity to use her skill set built in her 20-year career in data and retail management to implement projects that improve the community. She's typically found at home with more cats that seems feasible.
So oh,
she's got a lot of cats.
I can smell her house from here.
Gross.
Jesse Merriam is a she's a history student. She most recently worked with Art as a printmaker and instructor at Fireweed Community Workshop and with food. She's in the food service cultivation and research. After 3 winters conducting wild food harvest surveys in rural Alaska, she learned how powerful the sharing of stories, craft, and food can be in preserving collective history and powerful land stewardship. She's interested in using community archives, oral history, and storytelling with maps to empower communities and use public history to affect policy and encourage more sustainable ecological relationships. She likes to cook and learn about bogs and draw rabbits.
Wow.
All right.
Joe Harrington is a GIS mapping. He's an undergrad at McAllister. He is a geography and environmental studies major. He loves cooking and exploring restaurants, finding good places to swim, traveling, and visiting with his family. Sam Peterson. Sam is a female. She's originally from a small town in Wisconsin. She's currently an MSN candidate at the University of St. Thomas. She enjoys biking with her partner, ballroom dancing, and attending free events around the area. Free events, because she's too damn cheap to buy a ticket. She is truly excited to help make the Twin Cities more navigable and accessible as a city, as a person who has explored the city through biking, walking, transit, and driving. Greg Hindy, he studied cognitive science. He makes amateur art. He works at jobs that allow him to get outside and learn something new. You might see Greg and his partner Nicole and their two dogs, Pablo and Parka, exploring Minneapolis on Mocha Dick.
Joe, there's one thing you're leaving out with all of these. How much are these people making? I suppose since this isn't a government job, we don't know.
No, it's enough to sustain them.
Their finances are listed for 2021. I don't know how much that would have changed. But according to this, it's kind of weird because administration costs are only $34,000. But then they have an under expenses open streets Minneapolis for $163,000. I don't know if that means, what does that mean? Where's that money going?
That's going to these guys.
But you've read off about 20 of these so far. And if they've only got, what did you say, 120? So they're each making $1,000 a year?
No. Well, they might have other jobs.
Well, I did read up a little bit on Jose. Jose's a very well-respected jazz saxophonist internationally.
Wonderful.
Multi-Grammy.
What's that got to do with me getting to be able to commute?
We're talking about money, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Because you said they have
other
jobs. So.
Yeah.
One of the
gals. And then there's a whole list of board members. I won't bore you by going through a long list of board members. And all of them are passionate. They're very passionate.
Are they?
Yes.
One of the gals you read off just in the last few minutes said one of her interests is people navigating the Twin Cities and getting around.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like what she's doing with open streets goes against that.
You would think so.
That plan of action.
In Garage Logic, such a group does not exist. In Minneapolis, not only does this group exist, but I don't think it's a stretch to say they're taken seriously. Look at the front page of today's paper. These are people who have not contributed a great deal to commerce, which doesn't diminish their greatness as humans. I understand that. They haven't done anything.
But so far, as far as I can tell, the only people that are giving them props and respect is the Star Tribune. Because state and local officials aren't saying anything to these morons. They're kind of giving them a pat on the head and a cookie and really not responding whatsoever.
But here's what they want. Here are the six bullet points in their plan. They say traffic would not be dramatically affected.
Hold on.
We don't know that.
Most trips on I-94 are short and local, using the freeway only for short distances. The most common average trip duration during this stretch is 5 minutes. I don't buy that. That's nonsense.
As a traffic reporter, I'm going to just tell you, that's a straight-up lie. And they can spin it any way they want, but that is absolutely a lie, especially during morning and afternoon rush. Just ask anybody who comes in from the East Metro or the South Metro via 52 or 61.
They say most motorists would find other routes through neighborhoods. I'm sure you'd love that Walmart truck going down the street in front of your house.
The neighborhoods would hate that, hate it.
The models the state is using to study alternatives were developed 40 years ago and are not reliable and should not be used to predict congestion and travel times. The reimagining authors, meaning streets, Minneapolis, say the state methodology is skewed towards freeways and does not look at the environmental and development benefits of removing the highway. Removing the bleeping highway. Number three, converting to a thoroughfare has enormous potential for transforming hundreds of acres of right-of-way into new space for housing, businesses, and parks. No, it doesn't. Number four, less traffic, noise, and air pollution will improve the health of the corridor residents. Okay. Five, rethinking I-94 is a political decision, not an engineering one. That's an accurate statement. The freeway is not necessary for the Twin Cities to thrive. Well, in their minds, it's not.
Right. It 100% is. It absolutely is.
In their minds, the whole idea of thriving is completely different than what you might think is thriving. Number five, rethinking. Oh, yeah. Numbers, is there a six? Maybe there's only five.
No.
Yeah. Well,
can I share something with you?
Oh, man. I have a deep thought.
We're in deep trouble, Joe. Mm-hmm. I'm reading some of the comments associated with this story.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a couple?
Yes.
This one comes to us from Johnny Beattie.
Yeah.
While I don't hate the idea, how about we just keep the freeway and cover it with street-level roads and parks? That's a win-win.
Okay, I have something on that. But keep going, Chris. We can come back to that.
It's about 50-50, talking about in the metro area versus outside of the metro area. But I have to share this one because I love it. It's from a guy called Minnesota Nice. Huh, seems underwhelming. Why not replace 35 North to Duluth with bike lanes? Let's go big.
Yeah. I like that guy. Okay. A question for you, Such, and I have to bring up, and it's later on in this, the final column in this story, they bring up St. Paul City Council member Anika Bowie.
Yep.
And she's in favor of this 21-acre cap over several blocks of the freeway to reconnect Rondo. Do you think that they're using these children at open streets to scare us into accepting the 21-acre cap? Do you think this is just a little bit of poker being played here?
Possibly.
The old bait and switch thing, Kenny?
Yeah.
She says, I think our streets has brought a valuable perspective. Maybe there can be some type of merger of plans. The goal should be to reconnect, rebuild, and repair. Okay. I have often expressed wonder on this show, how does such a small segment of society get so much attention?
Right? Yep.
I mean, there's 25 people that know about Our Streets Minneapolis, and they all work for Our Streets Minneapolis. How did they get to the front page of the Star Tribune with a massive layout with photographs on the cover and on the interior jump page? My brother recommended that I listen to a guy named Jim Lindsay, who I had never heard of, on with Joe Rogan.
Okay.
That's an old podcast, but my brother was far more fascinated with it than I was after listening to it. I think much of Lindsay is just one of these thinkers, you know, he's a conservative thinker, and I found much of what he said not able to be proved. But he said something very interesting because he addressed that. How does one person get the city council to change? You know, how does this happen? It's just such a, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but I think he was right. He said something to the effect that it would be like if you're a family of four and the teenage daughter one night says, I'm now a vegetarian.
Yep.
Well, then rather than give her some grief about that, the two parents and the brother say, oh, okay. And then the next thing you know, mom's thinking for the dinner the next night, well, I really don't want to prepare two dinners. Maybe it'd just be easier to prepare a vegetarian dinner. And then the next thing you know, he said, that same family's going to the neighborhood block party, and the word has gotten out that Sally Johnson has become vegetarian. We better have some vegetarian fare to offer her. And the next thing you know, so it can only be, the answer must be, it's human nature to what? Try to be accommodating of these ideas?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, the smallest percentage of people, in this case, these activists who don't believe in cars and don't believe in capitalism and don't believe in the way we work and play and move around and don't believe that that vehicles have provided a great deal of freedom and that they don't believe that 140,000 vehicles a day use this corridor, we're accommodating them. Rather than MnDOT, for example, saying, why don't you go away? You have a pipe dream that's not going to happen, and we're not interested in you. You are all inexperienced. You all have nothing to bring to the table. I bet you 75% of them don't own a car. Yes, Kenny.
I can tell you how they got into everybody's mind in South Minneapolis. And I've been fighting about this topic with my roommate for years since we lived in South Minneapolis. Their whole thing started in South Minneapolis with closing long stretches of streets for a weekend day, a Saturday or a Sunday, hiring a bunch of bands, getting some food trucks and some vendors, and basically turning the day into a party on a closed street. We're talking Hennepin, Lake Street, et cetera, et cetera. And it was all charming and fun and wonderful, and everybody enjoyed themselves. And at the time, the first time this happened, I got in a big fight with her because I told her, this is leading to something evil.
Well,
these streets are for driving. They're not for partying.
Right.
And their end goal is to get rid of that street, that stretch of Lindale between, like, say, Lake Street and 26. They want that to be a park permanently.
I said the staff member, Amber Rasmussen, pronouns they, them, organized three seasons of open streets.
Yep.
What that meant was that she was part of their group that managed to get the streets closed. Now, how do they do that? Well, because Mrs. Johnson, who lives on the corner of 5th and Main, doesn't have the ability to say, go F yourself. They probably think, oh, well, let's give this a try. And the next, now they got their nose in the tent.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, they've jumped from closing streets on a Sunday to hit bongo drums and pretend they're doing something important to closing 94.
You have to admit, it's brilliant maneuvering. I mean, it's almost like a CIA psyop in a foreign country. It's really brilliant.
If you got the gender thing going for you, you got a twofer. Because everyone's going to say of Ember, we must listen to her and give her some credibility.
Hey, don't misgender her by saying her.
What's her pronoun?
We must pay attention to they because she has these ideas, and we certainly can understand on a pleasant summer Sunday closing our street. No, you can't. You shouldn't.
Right.
But now they want to close the freeway.
See, like we were saying during the last break, any responsible adult will take this paper and their plans and their maps and hang it up on the refrigerator and say, good job, kiddo. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And pat them on the head. Now you go watch SpongeBob for a while.
Yeah. It was a good episode today.
What obligation? I've just explained it, I hope. What obligation is MnDOT have to give these people a sounding board and a platform? They have nothing.
Zero.
They have nothing they wish to contribute to the greater good. They think they are. They think the greater good would be if more of us rode bikes or walked. Not everybody can do that.
My personal opinion, just based on dealing with MnDOT for years, is that they're playing along for ESG issues. You know what I mean? They're just playing along so they look good and that they don't fall out of favor. But I think they all know better.
Behind closed doors, they're
laughing. You better pray that they do.
Yeah. They don't have the balls to say, shut up, because they think that will make them look bad.
This group shouldn't even exist. First of all, it's redundant. You already have city bureaus and agencies that do this stuff. You have public works that can designate a street. It's the city council's pass ordinances to create bike lanes. They're a redundant group of young, wildly, what's the word I want?
Insane.
Well, I'm trying to be kinder than insane.
No, saying, they're not worldly yet. They're very vulnerable.
Misled, misguided. But we know what you mean.
Yeah. And that you...
I want him to say it.
You have nothing to offer. Nothing. Because the mass of people cannot live like you do. We all can't be paid by a grant. We all can't spend our days feeding earthworms to a salamander.
Named Smokey.
Well, like we've said many, many times over the last few years, they don't have anybody in their life to look at them and say... Shut up. You're an
idiot. I wonder how many
Stop
of them have
it.
Kids. Now, you would think that would have been mentioned in their little bios.
I wonder how many of them are commuting from, let's say, Cottage Grove, up Highway 61,
Zero.
Getting on westbound 94, fighting their way through downtown St. Paul, and then sitting in traffic on the Midway because there's a crash over at 280.
Zero.
In order to barely make their mortgage payment and feed their family and put gas in the car.
They lead great lives, if you want to look at it that way. They don't suffer the stress of producing an income. They don't suffer the stress of putting food on your family. They don't suffer the stress of a work life and trying to get ahead in life. They're satisfied with this. They're satisfied with whatever they get paid as a result of grant money to issue this nonsense.
But the main evil that they commit, Joe, is they expect those people in Cottage Grove and Inver Grove Heights and wherever you're commuting from, they expect those people to live the same lives that they're living. Even though the people in Cottage Grove...
That's why they shouldn't be paid attention to.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but they're getting millions of dollars from us.
From you. One of the reasons I like a scooter, EcoFund Motorsports maintains my scooter. In fact, any day now, Tim could return it. They have the pickup and delivery service, and I keep it with him in the winter. Seriously, I have used it to go around the cities in the summer, knowing perfectly well it will come in handy, and this has happened. When I encounter a blocked street, they're maneuverable, they're easy to park, they get great gas mileage. All my urban traveling.
They hold a small bag of carrots.
That's right. All my urban traveling is on a scooter, and EcoFund has them, and they're all on sale right now. In fact, Vespas are 10% off. E-bikes are on sale. Yamaha UTVs, that's utility task vehicle or utility terrain vehicle. Up to 15% off on all Yamaha side-by-sides. Kawasaki UTVs are on sale. Pre-season youth ETVs. And some Moto Guzzi motorcycles from 1923.
Yeah, they're old.
No. That would cause a lot of collectors to run out there.
Yeah, they'd go.
I meant 2023.
Oh, okay.
It's a great recreational place with a huge parking lot, so you're going to leave there with the correct electric bike. And you would meet the approval of Our Streets Minneapolis with any of these products. Not that you should be seeking their approval, but an electric bike would earn you a lot of stars and stripes, right? And they're in Forest Lake on 97, just immediately west of 35E. They're down in Burnsville on the Service Road of Life near County Road 42. It is really, really a fun store, and I've never seen such inventory. It's a massive store full of the neatest stuff you've ever seen. And spring is sprung, baby. Twins open today. That's a good sign.
I'll say.
Spring is sprung. Get to EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake or Burnsville. EcoFunMotorsports.com.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life.
Joe Soucheray.
I'm hearing it from good sources that ProTurf is already in summer mode. Lawn treatments are spooling up. The irrigation guys are waking up winterized systems. And the landscape crews are already busy. So if you're considering a landscape project this summer, it's time today. Do it. Contact ProfessionalTurf.com. It's your design and your ideas brought to life with, I don't know what else to call it, but digital voodoo. ProTurf, they'll sit down with you and help design your project using this magic digital photography and landscape imaging software. Basically, you're going to see what it looks like before they even start. And ProTurf can do anything. Your wildest dreams can come true. Anything can happen. You want concrete pavers or natural stone patios? Yeah, sure. Fire pits, they do it all the time. Driveways, walkways, retaining walls. You thinking something plant-related, like mulch beds? Or what about water features? Ponds, rock fountains, streams, anything you can dream up, ProTurf will help you upgrade that outdoor environment and force your equity up. When they did my backyard in Minneapolis, I didn't know what I wanted, and they sold me on something right away. It's like, yep, that's what I want. Do that. They've been doing this for a while, landscaping, lawn care, irrigation service, 1982 to be exact. Let the pros at Professional Turf help you design and then install that dream in your yard. Schedule that free estimate today, ProfessionalTurf.com.
Kenny, you know what I think you should do? I think you should combine a couple of your spots.
Yeah.
Like you can say, if your grass isn't green, you grab a bottle of Seafoam and you pour it all over, then it's going to be fine. And then your tagline, Seafoam, a beautiful product in the world of bad grass.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Because the Seafoam would destroy the grass.
See? It's not perfect yet, but he's workshopping it. Beautiful product in the world of bad grass.
Okay. Hi, John.
This news update is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Metro Transit announcing its Gold Line will open in a little under a year, March 22nd of next year. The Metro Gold Line will be the state's first bus rapid transit line to run primarily in bus-only lanes. It'll connect Woodbury to downtown St. Paul. Construction on the Gold Line began in late 2022 and includes a bridge connecting Woodbury and Oakdale. Metro Transit said that construction is about 41% complete, is advancing on time and under
the
$505.3 million budget. Once open, the Gold Line will provide all day daily service.
May I ask a question? Is there a big clamoring for people to go from Woodbury to downtown St. Paul?
That's what I'm wondering.
Because downtown St. Paul is a freaking ghost town. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, as far as I know, I don't know. I don't get there often.
It is. Did you guys see the Southwest rail line story in the strip today?
It might be taken from the council.
Oh, do the story, John. It's just precious.
Latest news on the Southwest light rail line. Star Tribune reporting the distance between the center of one set of tracks to the middle of the other was designed to be 25 feet to separate light rail and freight trains along a narrow stretch of the route. But a recent measurement from a nearby resident found the distance was almost a foot short of the mark. Now that means the 200 light rail trains traveling through the Kenilworth corridor every day will be nearly a foot closer to nearby freight trains, which often carry hazardous materials like methanol. The project, about 80% done, is slated to begin service in 2027. In an interview with the Star Tribune, Southwest Project Director Jim Alexander said, "We have to figure out what happened and see what we can do about it." He told members of the Met Council last month after Five Eyewitness News first reported the problem that the fix could happen later this spring or summer, and he says it will not affect the project's overall price tag.
No, this won't cost. Don't worry about it. Well, digging them up and moving them over a foot won't cost anything.
Johnny, you missed his opening line, though. His opening line at the press conference was, whoops, and then went on to...
Alexander said his staff, by the way, took their own measurements too.
Uh-huh.
And it's only 7 inches.
Well, they have special rulers.
Got it.
Joe, 25 feet. Tell me how I should feel about this, because part of me is irritated that a busybody Karen went out there with a tape measure and measured this. And then the other part of me says, this sounds like something a GLer would do, and I endorse that. So I don't know where to fall down on this side of the measuring issue.
Well, I love the fact that this was done. It continues to show that this is being handled by people who have no business doing this.
Yeah, yeah. I you're right. Yeah.
Why doesn't MnDOT do it?
Well, they're not. They don't do rail.
Hey, they got you. You can get them. They got them.
That would drive the cost up.
Oh, yeah. No, not as much as these morons have driven it up.
Right.
Yeah. An awful story. Family members have confirmed a Minnesota woman, Gail Mattson, 79 years old, was killed on safari in Zambia. Mattson was vacationing in Zambia when, over the weekend, safari officials say an elephant charged tourists on a game drive through Kafue National Park. A video shows the moment the elephant attacked the truck that the group of tourists were riding in. The safari company, Wilderness, said an American tourist was tragically killed by a bull elephant while on the game drive. They say the elephant was aggressive and charged unexpectedly, adding that the guide couldn't get out of harm's way fast enough. The safari company added that another guest who was hurt was taken to a private medical facility and four others treated for minor injuries. According to the family, Mattson split time between living in Minnesota and Arizona.
See, you guys disagreed with me. We were talking about this earlier.
Had a raucous discussion.
I think it'd be a great way to go. And I know we lost Mom, and that's sad, and I'm sorry.
Grandma.
Or Grandma. But what the hell? I think that's...
At 79?
I can think of a lot of worse ways to go.
At 79.
Yeah, that is getting to be a younger age these days.
To some.
To some. Just, and
just keep telling yourself that, Joe.
By all accounts, she was very healthy and active. Probably more so than all of us.
And you know what? And very she must have liked elephants because she went there to see him. And this guy, for some reason, he had a bug up himself. And he decided to attack this vehicle. Well, and she lost. And remember the time, Rook, that a guy saved a little kid at a truck event in the Metrodome or something?
It was the wheel had come off one of the
and
vehicles.
An old guy leaped in front of the kid and took the wheel.
Took the hit.
A great way to go.
Yep. Did it kill him?
How do we know Grandma didn't save somebody on this vehicle?
Because we saw the tape.
Here's my question. When you watch the video, which is quite frightening,
see anything except the vehicle turning over.
No, well, then you didn't see the same video I did.
Do you see the lady getting hit?
No, but you see the elephant starting to charge the vehicle.
He's parallel to it. He's running along in the tree line.
But 25 seconds before that, why is the guy not hitting the gas? Let's go here.
I think he was, but elephants are very fast.
I kind of equate all of this safari nonsense with the people in Yellowstone that get out of their cars and take selfies with the bison. It's like, do you idiots even know what the hell you're doing?
I'm on her side. I mean, you guys are...
We have nothing against her. We just think she had another good 20 years in her.
Well,
and that's a rotten way to go.
Well, I think an elephant's a great way to go.
An African bush elephant can get up to speeds of 25 miles an hour.
Well, and this dumpy crap car the guy was in probably couldn't go fast.
You know what?
That.
Let's go down to Como and toss you in the elephant pit, see what you say about that.
Right. That would be cool because there isn't one.
Are you 79 yet?
No, I'm not.
Today's lunatic story comes from the Mankato area. Authorities in Blue Earth County say about 2 weeks before a dog was fatally shot on the deck of a South Bend Township home, its owners found a threatening note on their property warning them to keep their dog from barking. According to the Blue Earth County Sheriff's Office, deputies called to the 400 block of Newbert Lane just before 6:30 p.m. this past Saturday for a report of a dog found dead on the home's deck. When deputies got there, authorities say they found a dead, medium-sized, mixed-breed female dog that was shot. They spoke with neighbors. One person reported hearing two shots within the time frame the dog died. In addition to the owners of the dog that was killed receiving a threatening note, the sheriff's office says another dog owner in the area also got a similar note about keeping their dog from barking. According to authorities, it appears whoever did the shooting basically took up a sniper position in a marshy area within the view of the house. Anyone with information is asked to call the Blue Earth County Sheriff's Department.
I have a question about this.
Why didn't the guy drive away?
I saw this film of this on the news. The dog died on the deck of this guy's house. That's a second story deck. That means one of two things. The dog either was shot elsewhere and managed to go home and then die on the deck, or somebody with a gun went up to the second story of this guy's house.
What, Joe?
What?
Do the story again, John.
You mean the sniper part of it, Kenny, where the guy was
where
hiding
was
in a marsh area?
In a marsh, near shooting at a house, and there were kids in the house?
I got you, boys. I got you right here.
Never mind.
Yep. Yeah, Joe dozed off at the end of that.
I think
story.
He was thinking about elephants.
I was.
There you go.
I was.
Up on the ride? I was actually watching the video about the elephant.
St. Cloud hopes to bring a full scale replica of the space shuttle to downtown St. Cloud.
I saw that too.
Inventor Felicity John Peterson bought the replica from NASA. She says it's very majestic. When you look at it, it's like, wow. The plan is to bring the 60-foot-tall, 80-foot-wide, 130-foot-long model to a parking lot next to a future children's museum. It would all come in pieces, and you'd have to reassemble it in St. Cloud, Peterson said. The move from Kennedy Space Center in Florida to St. Cloud will cost about $1 million. The group is working out the final details on the project. They say they hope to have the replica shuttle in St. Cloud by the end of the year.
Okay, wait a minute. Is this a shuttle that actually went someplace, or is it just a model?
Yeah. It's just a model, replica.
Like, it's a Spruce Goose.
The hell with that.
I actually had different thoughts.
Give me the real one.
Let's go.
If I would have won the lottery last night, this would have been the first thing that I bought. I'd put this bitch right in my yard.
Take it home.
Put it right in my yard.
Look at here. Yeah.
Check it out.
Little as Kenny know, he leads me right into the next story before we go to break.
Oh,
nice segue.
Our daily Powerball update. The jackpot has increased to an estimated $1.23 billion after another drawing with no winner last night. The $1.23 billion prize is for a sole winner who chooses to be paid through an annuity with 30 annual payments. Winners, though, almost always prefer the cash option, which for the next drawing on Saturday night would be about $595.1 million.
Hey, when is the next drawing? Saturday night?
Saturday night.
I might have to get gas or something.
Your take-home pay, folks.
Buy one ticket.
$297,550,000.
I'll take it.
So just about $300 million after tax.
I spent $10. See there?
Yeah.
Got them all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See.
That's 30 numbers.
Yeah.
Of those 30 numbers, I only got two correct.
Really?
Yeah.
Are the tickets $10?
They're $2.
No,
$2.
$2 each, yeah.
$5.
I'd let the gal at the gas station just get the thing out of the machine. I'm not going to give her any numbers.
We got to give her money, though.
I just like the fact that before you get paid, the government gets theirs. That always is comforting.
Yeah, I would tell all the people that wanted money from me and said, listen, talk to the government. They took your first half.
Right.
Yeah.
They took your cut.
I'm keeping the second half.
It's brilliant.
They took your first half. And they said they were going to disperse it to you.
So I can say, Rook, because we have our deal, that the part where I was going to pay off, you know, all your bills and give you some money, I can just say, nah, you've got to go talk to the government.
Yeah, government gets the first half.
The way you broke it down the other day, Matthew, I thought really put things in perspective. You said out of a billion, you're going to take the cash payment, right? So that's about half.
Yep.
And then out of that half, the government's going to take half.
They take the first half.
And then,
wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. If you get a billion, the government takes half. Don't you get $500 million?
Explain, Rook.
No, the $1.2 billion is if you left it in an annuity for 24 years, that would be the gross that you would get. And then you'd have to...
But there's a cash option.
Right, but the cash option is what's in the pot right now.
Yeah.
And what's in the pot right now is $595 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically $600 million, and you take half of that. Because the government's going to take the first
for day. Taxes, so that leaves you with about three.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I can't live on $300 million.
No, that's not enough.
That's not enough.
The best thing they could do, seriously, is the government should say, of that first $300 million, I want you to find 300 people and give them $1 million and change their life. And the
I would love to do that. That would be the.
It would be so much better than the government sucking in that 300
million. One more thing, the annuity. If you take the annuity, but then you die within 2 years, it stops, right?
No, it goes to your estate.
No, you'd have a plan where it would go to your wife or your kid.
Oh, well, then take the annuity. I would take the annuity.
But see, also, the 1.2 million, that's based on a 4% interest. You could easily get 7 to 10% interest. Ooh. I would start your financial
plan. Well, actually, you know, speaking of the estate and the family.
Reavers, you would be dead in 3 weeks.
Lottery talk.
Mine
it's
would
horrible.
Start with, boys, no, it's great. Daddy no, loves isn't. You very much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
No, first thing I do
Chris
is would, I call Linda
burn
Keller.
Off his, you know no, what, in 2 weeks.
I call Linda Keller and said, guess what, Linda, you're a millionaire. Take
right.
care of my millions.
Take care
pay
of
yourself,
all that.
Pay yourself whatever you want.
That's a great transition, Kenny Olson. Yeah. Linda Keller and Keller Tax Service. In fact, she just sent me a text this morning, says, call me, I've got your numbers. Ooh. So after I get home and I finish off half a bottle of Harmony Spirits, I'm going to call her to get the final numbers. But that's why she's the best. It's direct contact all throughout the process. She handles all types of returns, whether you're a business owner, whether you're just filing independently, it doesn't matter. She'll take care of you whether you live in the state of Minnesota. If you happen to be listening to us and you live in Arizona, I just got an email from somebody that said, we contacted Linda from Phoenix. She took care of us. Thanks for the recommendation, Reavers. A lot of you GLers have been reaching out to her, and it's so great that she's being useful in that regard. If you go to her website, by the way, which is kellertaxservice.com, you can book your appointment right online. I know she does have Saturday appointments still available. And you can also get up-to-date tax information right there from her website. So please do me a favor. Get in touch with Linda Keller, like three-fifths of the Garage Logic podcast already has, and make sure that you let her know that you heard about her right here on the Garage Logic podcast.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
By the way, I'm taking this song back.
I so figured that's why I'm playing it today.
This is the last time you'll hear this song in Garage Logic. We've got big doings this weekend. It's the 66th annual GSTA Rod and Custom Spectacular. It's the 6th and 7th, Saturday and Sunday, Minnesota State Fairgrounds Coliseum. It's presented by Brainerd International Raceway. We're going to see the finest in the area, all the hot rods, more than 100 of the finest rods, custom street machines, and motorcycles too. And I'm really excited by this. I wish I could get down there. The cars from the original Ford drag team, some hot rod Mustangs there. And you have to make sure you bring the brats to this one because there's lots to be had for the kiddos.
What are the hours again?
I'm going to get to that. Just try to pay attention. Maybe grab a pen and paper and write them down.
He's got a pencil and paper.
For the kids, you can sit inside a real race car. That's a big deal. You know what? I'd like doing that myself, actually, and I'm all growed up. The kiddos get free Hot Wheels from Sergeant Hot Wheels, and they can take part, bring their model cars and take part in some kind of judgment if they've built something really cool. So here you go, Joe. 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday and 9 to 6 on Sunday. And being a tightwad like you are, you can get discount tickets and a little more information. The website, gstarod-custom.com.
Do you think there'll be a lot of cars parked out on the streets?
Oh, well, of course, but it's all free parking, so who cares?
No,
it's indoors. It's indoors.
The event itself is indoors, but I bet there's a lot of car watching outside, too.
Absolutely, because you know that's like the first event of the season that you can drive your hot rod to.
That's what I got, baby. I'm marking it down.
Again, now, if you're Joe Soucheray, first thing you do is you write down www.gstarod-custom.com.
Yep.
Have fun, y'all. It sounds like a great event.
Thank you, Kenny. We should mention, before we get to national, international stuff here, it's opening day for the Twins, home opener.
3-10, John?
3-10, they play Cleveland, and the Guardians off to a pretty good start.
Oh, I must, I'm sorry to interrupt. I must defend Reavers.
Uh-oh.
I heard a Twins spokesman on the radio talking about what they've done differently this season, and the fellow said, and we've even brought a pontoon boat into the stadium.
Joe, I accept your apology, and I wasn't offended.
I'm not apologizing. I'm correct. I'm helping you.
I'll apologize because I was the meanest out of all of us. I'm sorry, Chris.
We're amongst brothers.
He called it a pontoon boat.
Yeah. Because we discussed it the other day, it looks neat. The only problem is you got to plop down, I think, $1,500 for it, and you're still amongst all the mouth breathers. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, but you're kind of elevated, and when you put yourself in that position, it just screams that somebody's going to throw a beer at you.
Do you really think you should be calling the Twins fans mouth breathers?
I was kind of wondering about that myself.
It's a term of endearment we use here.
Sure.
I haven't followed closely yet. How far out of the wild card are we?
Wait, guys.
We're five games in, bro.
Yesterday, Patrick ripped the team.
Yeah.
They ended up winning 7-3.
Yeah.
Prior to that, his text preceded the 7-3 victory, and he said, "I don't think it's too early to panic."
Yeah,
Pat, it's way too early to panic.
Hold on, I got to find the direct one that he had.
God almighty.
Here we go. Patrick Royce, 23 hours ago, me. I don't think the Twinks are very good. The bride, you say that every year. Me, a baseball season is too long to be bogged down with optimism.
Yep.
But he had even a better one regarding optimism, a follow-up. What was that? I thought it was really brilliant.
While this discussion was taking place, it seems Twins scored 6 runs. No matter. I remain optimistic about my pessimism.
Yes, yes, that is brilliant.
I remain optimistic about my pessimism.
So who is the guy in the Cubs that ripped the folks in the outfield? Who is that?
Oh, that was Lee Elia.
But then our guy... Who ran the White Sox, Bill
Veeck.
Veeck
is the one responsible for starting this craze of boxes and private suites and all of that. And didn't he do that with the old press box at the White Sox?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, didn't you watch the documentary?
I did, and I've been to that park. I know Bill. I covered games there. I still don't know what you're talking about.
He sold seats in the old press box and ended up starting a whole new craze of private suites and boxes.
Well, okay.
He was the first. Didn't you watch it?
Of course I read the report.
That was my main takeaway from that whole thing. It's this guy created suites. This is unbelievable.
Did you see what the Cubs did on opening day?
The pyrotechnics?
They had two sparklers.
Yeah, coming out of the pail.
Honest to God, they introduced a player. He'd run out, and alongside him were two sparklers.
And the second one was kind of running out of juice.
Yeah, it was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life.
It reminded me of the, what's the horn you and Rookie went to see? The ship horn?
Oh, the Titanic.
Beep, beep. 100,000 people down there. And it went, yeah. It was a wet fart.
In national and international.
People were worried about windows crashing.
Right.
And
people were wondering, will buildings survive this?
They're putting plywood up.
Yes. Yeah.
Counterclockwise
hurricane
expansion.
Windows and storm doors. And the time came for it and went.
Sounds like the Roadrunner.
God, it was terrible. And I was a sucker. I went for it. I was down there too. Yeah.
With the kids.
The CIA is warning Israel that Iran will attack the country in the next 48 hours. Israel killed 2 Iranian military commanders with a strike on Tehran's consulate in the Syrian capital, Damascus, this week. Iran vowed that it would take revenge for the attack, and now foreign media is reporting that U.S. intelligence is fearful of an attack on Israel within the next 48 hours. Iran is said to be planning a combined attack with a rain of drones and missiles fired from bases at strategic locations inside of Israel. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump getting some heat for, what apparently is a lie on the campaign trail. The sister of murder victim Ruby Garcia said she and her family were home watching live TV And while they couldn't believe their ears when they heard the former president tell a Michigan audience he had spoken with some of Garcia's family. Rubby Garcia's sister says he did not speak with any of us. So it was kind of shocking to see that he said that he had. Mavi Garcia, the family spokesperson, said neither Trump nor anybody from the campaign contacted her or the family. Trump spent some of his speech Tuesday focusing on immigration, turning to the March 22nd murder of Rubby Garcia. Court records show Brandon Ortiz Veit, who was in the U.S. illegally, has confessed to killing her and dumping her along U.S. 131 in Grand Rapids. While police say the two were a couple, Rubby Garcia's sister said the two were friends and the relationship had not gotten that far. She said she's angry that Trump and others have turned her sister's death into something political. The focus, she said, should be on her sister. Ortiz Veit is facing 5 charges, including felony murder and carjacking. He's expected back in Grand Rapids District Court on April 9th.
You know what I think? And if you allow yourself to think about it, it's depressing. Neither of these two candidates are capable of being president. They're both
agreed.
They're both not capable. In this once great, magnificent, powerful, beautiful country that no brilliant soul, man or woman, black, white, yellow, green or blue, has stepped forward to say, I have an idea how we preserve this great country. I'd like to be the president, and here's why. That hasn't happened in this country. We're stuck with these two completely inadequate fools.
But
I don't get it.
You wouldn't put either one of these in charge of your multi-billion-dollar company.
I wouldn't put either one of them in charge of a meat market.
I don't think it's an individual problem. I think it's a problem both parties would not allow another individual to.
But there's got to be a soul. There's got to be a savior who said, look, this is ridiculous going this way or this way. Here's what we got to do.
John, it doesn't exist. John just hit it. Those people do exist. It's the party's problems.
What happens even, and whether you love them or hate them, for instance, you have somebody like Chris Christie who tried to do exactly what you said. And look what happened, man. He got just shoveled off. And I'm not a big Chris Christie fan.
I thought he was the whirlwind. I thought he was going to swoop in.
Yeah. And what they do, they just shuffled him off into the corner. And he was one of the first ones out of the presidential race.
God, we're in trouble. We're in so much trouble.
The parties are playing the odds. And they're more willing to put their money behind a known candidate than somebody who's actually good for the country.
Then they're not good people.
Well, right. That's why I say we need a do-over. Let's start over.
They're just not good people.
Yep. 250 years ago, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose full name, you know, he was Jewish, so his full name might have been like Christowitz, but God rose him from the dead on a holiday we now call Easter. Yep. Not a lot of people know that, but it's called Easter. It's when Jesus and the two Corinthians met the Easter Bunny and came back from the dead.
Yep. That's right, Don.
Oh, God.
That was in about 1886.
I will not tire it. Brilliant pieces
about of 1986,
audio.
About 1886.
150
years ago. 150
years ago.
Not a lot of people know that.
The world's oldest man has died 2 months before
his 100th.
The second oldest man.
Died 2 months before his 115th birthday. Local officials paying tribute to his optimism for life. He was Juan Vicente Perez from Venezuela. He died at the age of 114.
Who wants to live to be 114?
The guy who's 113.
Thank you.
Perez lived through 2 world wars, the COVID pandemic, the Spanish flu pandemic, and was married for 60 years to Idiofina del Rosario Garcia.
Jeez, can you imagine?
Did this guy live and die in Venezuela, John?
That's correct, sir. Yes.
That's amazing.
Correct, Alex?
He was born in May of 1909. Rook.
What was the secret to his long life, John?
I can tell you. I have the information right here. Never go on safari.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Watch out for elephants.
What was he? He must have provided a secret.
Yeah, working hard.
Yep.
Resting on holidays.
Yep.
Well, I'm out.
Going to bed early.
Yep.
And drink drinking a glass of aguardiente, which is a strong liquor, every day. Also loving God and carrying God in your heart.
What time did he drink the agua liquid?
7 a.m.
I'll bet before.
Before it's an eye-opener.
6:30.
He woke up alive. Cheers, everybody.
He drank early in the morning so he wouldn't feel sorry for anybody during the day.
Yes. Exactly.
He and Mrs. Garcia had 11 children, including 6 sons, 5 daughters. They later had 42 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, and 12 great-great-grandchildren. It's believed.
At what point did he lose track of their names?
Well, if he's like you at about age 50.
Right. After the second one.
Okay, 40. Age 40.
We used to line up all the kids in front of an uncle. We just pick a different uncle every year. Not a shot.
And get That's 3 awesome. Or 4 in and then just go get a beer.
Yeah.
In my family, we had 4 kids, and it always, mom, when she wanted to talk to me, I was the youngest, started with the oldest, went all the way down the line before she got
before she got the name correct.
Before she got to John. Failed. The newest guy, by the way, is apparently Chisaburo Sonobi of Japan.
What's this tell you? You ain't going to grow old in this dump of a country.
Right.
You got to go to Venezuela or Japan.
You need some smog.
Did you see that there's now they found toxins in Band-Aids?
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ouch. No.
Yeah. Put a Band-Aid on and it's leaching toxins right into your open wound.
I'll be damned.
That's new.
You're going to need some.
The estate of George Carlin has reached a settlement with the makers of a podcast that had used artificial intelligence to impersonate Carlin for a comedy special. We know one of the fellas who was sued here. As part of the agreement, the two podcast creators, Will Sasso and Chad Kultgen, agreed to permanently remove the comedy special and to never repost it on any platform. They also agreed not to use Carlin's image, voice, or likeness on any platform without approval from the estate. Carlin's estate had filed a suit in January saying that Sasso and Kultgen, hosts of the podcast Dudesy, had infringed on the estate's copyrights by training an AI algorithm on 5 decades of Carlin's work for the special, George Carlin, I'm Glad I'm Dead.
Have you guys seen it?
Have you listened to the Dudesy podcast?
I have not.
I have, yeah.
It's actually frightening how good it is.
What, Dudesy?
No, the
Carlin bit.
The Carlin bit that they came up with.
But their podcast is pretty good.
Carlin's daughter, Kelly, is the one who ended up suing. She wrote in a statement she was pleased the suit had been resolved so quickly. She said, well, it's a shame that this happened at all. I hope the case serves as a warning about the dangers posed by AI technologies and the need for safeguards.
I'm the only one I've met who thinks Carlin is just kind of,
I think he grew into brilliance.
He's too preachy. He's just always bitching about something.
He's way ahead of the curve on a lot of this crap.
Quit your bitching.
Experiencing.
Say something funny for once.
You had the one funny line. Did you realize anybody that's driving slower than you is an idiot, and anybody driving faster than you is a maniac?
Wasn't that Lewis
Black? That was funny.
No, that was George Carlin. Oh.
Thank you, John.
Hang on. Have you watched the documentary about him, Ken?
Oh, yeah.
No, I couldn't.
The growth and stuff, and it's amazing.
I couldn't do it. John, did he start out with like Sonny and Cher?
Can I say it into my microphone?
I suppose, Joe.
What's it called?
I think it was on.
It's a call.
It's a two-parter. Yeah. How about if I look it up during the break?
And then, was he a writer on Sonny and Cher or Flip Wilson or something?
He was a stand-up comic in the early 60s, actually. That way.
He was the hippy-dippy weatherman on The Tonight Show.
Hippy-dippy weatherman.
Yeah. He was the conductor on Thomas the Tank Engine.
That he was.
It was, yes.
I bet that's where he made a gigantic sum of money, too.
He also was the friend of Donald on That Girl, if you ever watched That Girl, when he had short hair and wore a suit all the time.
That Girl was Marlo Thomas?
That's right.
That's correct.
That's right.
Okay.
Her dad was Danny Thomas.
Danny Thomas.
That's right.
Founder of Wendy's.
He was born into a Catholic family, outspoken in his rejection of religion in all forms, frequently criticizing and mocking in his comedy routines. When he asked if he believed in God, he responded, no, there's no God, but there might be some sort of an organizing intelligence, and I think to understand it is way beyond our ability. That's not funny.
I don't think he intended that as a stand-up line.
All he did was bitch. Yeah. That's all he did.
Kenny's got a real problem with with George Carlin, doesn't he?
I guess.
Why don't you take the break?
You ever listen to any podcast, Kenny, speaking of bitching?
Yeah. What now? What does this button do?
I gotta go. It's 140.
What's the hurry?
I mean,
first pitch is the hurry.
Chris here, so we can't make it to the game. You know,
this guy wears many hats, just not indoors.
There's a non-binary person in Canada, 33 years old, who wants the taxpayers to fund $70,000 in surgery to give them, it's a them, a vagina and keep their penis.
Well, you got to have a two-for-one special there.
Where would you put it?
Right
there. You
want
me to draw you a picture?
Just be flexible.
Well, do you have your choice of where you can put it? Like armpit, maybe?
On my nose?
I don't know where
stomach.
I don't know.
Back
where
of the head?
I hope they don't pay for this, but it's in Canada, and Canada is rapidly falling apart.
Sorry, this person is, which piece do they already have?
They got the male unit, I think.
Okay, they already possess that. They just want
the addition.
An addition.
They want the hermaphrodite deal.
Gotcha.
And the vagina.
And the person's doctor said that they should do this. It's very important for this person to have the female deal, but she also wishes to maintain the male deal.
Well, there is that little spot, that little piece of real estate between this.
It's tight, yeah, it's tight.
It's a small available space there. It's not doing anything.
Do you know there's a Crane Center in Austin?
Ain't doing nothing, huh?
The Crane Center in Austin, Texas. That's where this person would go for this, which specializes in several non-standard gender surgeries.
Time out. Did you just say it's called the Crane Center?
Yeah.
Got it.
And a surgeon there bragged in a 2021 Facebook video that he offers everything you can think of.
Yeah.
Wow.
I never would have thought of this.
Yep.
I never would have come up with this. What else can I tell you about this? Usually male to female, you need to take some of the male part to craft the female part.
Yeah.
So, but this guy, you know, they'd take the skin from somewhere else, the colon or the scrotum.
You got a lot of real estate there.
Could they make it removable so you could throw it in the dishwasher?
Just like throw it on a hook?
Maybe put it out on the line.
You got to be worried about it. It might not be dishwasher safe.
True.
But you don't want to put it on the line. Then you've got the problem with birds.
Right. Squirrels. Neighbors.
Now I'm seeing that flapping in the wind.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Mayor. When you select material for the show, do you not realize or remember the four people you work with? We can't be trusted with a story like this.
The speeches that you've given us off the air over the years,
and then
you bring this to the table as the final item.
I only did because, again, this has to stop. This has to stop.
No, he's trying to be serious.
this can't continue.
Right.
Yeah, but it's great material. I mean, it's our job to come up with, you know.
Well, how would you like to be a taxpayer who had to pay for that?
Nope.
No, I don't want to pay for that.
I don't know. Are we going to be able to see it in action?
Renewal by Anderson brings you only because. Renewal by Anderson for the best windows and patio doors, things of that nature, they're the best. They're made right here.
Let's go.
Only because they come to us from the traveling Lymans who are still in Apache Junction, Arizona, at worldwidewaftage.com. Only because they come to us. It was on this day.
Joe, today is April 4th.
1888. Abraham Elfelt, one of the first Jewish people to make a permanent home in Minnesota, died on this day in 1888.
Yes.
How?
I don't know how.
Yes.
On this day in 1893.
There were not many temples at the time.
Right.
May the April 4th be with you.
The Minnesota state flag was adopted, which we've now ruined. just in time to appear in a state-sponsored exhibit at the World Fair in Chicago. It was designed by Amelia H. Center of Minneapolis. The flag, as we all know, depicted the state seal ringed by a wreath of white lady slippers and surrounded by 19 stars representing Minnesota as the 19th state after the original 13 to be admitted to the Union. The flag was modified on March 18, 1957, when the white flowers were replaced with pink and white lady slippers. Huh. And then in 2023, we just threw her away and came up with a meaningless nonsense.
And it's so interesting. I'm seeing more and more and more of the original flags flying where before they weren't.
Yeah. I got one that's going up this summer.
I got one right behind me.
Let's go.
Yes, you do.
I sent you guys a picture on the lake up here, the guy who had the new one. Remember?
Yes, you did.
A month ago. Yeah.
On this day.
Opening day, April 4th.
In 1914, Frederick E. Weyerhaeuser, founder of the Timber Dynasty, died in California. At one time, he owned 2 million acres of forest land in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Pacific Northwest. That happened on this day.
Wow.
Thank you, GLers.
Thank you. GLers, can you do us a favor? Hit the old subscribe button. It's right there on the Garage Logic YouTube channel because there you can join thousands of GLers who have found us. Just search for Garage Logic Podcast and subscribe for nearly daily content, including behind-the-scenes content, full segments, and video shorts. That's Garage Logic Podcast right there on YouTube.
It is time once again that we check in with our guy, Mr. Money Talk. Josh Arnold is with us once again here in Garage Logic, and now's the time for you to do the same. So do not delay. Do exactly what I did and pick up that phone and dial 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. You call that number, you get Josh, and he's there for you for that free, yes, I said the word free, 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. And you will always get straight talk. You will never get sugar-coated advice. And he's on the line with us once again here in Garage Logic. And Josh, I know you're loaded for bear today because you would like to talk about the big proxy fight. Of course, the Fed again. And we better get our IRAs under control, huh?
Well, let's start with the IRAs because that's a big thing. That's a great way, Chris, to get a tax deduction. Even for last year, that's 2023. We're in 2024, but you can still get a tax deduction up until the time you file your taxes by putting money into a tax-deductible IRA. It's in your benefit to do so. Fully fund that IRA, and if you have some extra money, start putting that money in for 2024 so you don't forget. And you've got a choice of where to put that money. You can, of course, for all those people who want guarantees, well, I can't say guarantees, want extra safety. You can put the money in the bank, but I'm not a bank investor. I do use banks for checking and also to pay my credit cards. And probably can go, if I talk about a bank, a savings and loan, or a credit union, is one place you can go for your IRA. If you do use one of those institutions and you put your money in a CD, keep it on the shorter side, but keep it on the shorter side because I am of the belief that putting the money into an investment or an investment account, whether that be a mutual fund or into a series of stocks, is the best way to go on a long-term basis. So fund that IRA. It is tax deductible. Put the max that you can in and do it ASAP prior to filing your taxes. If you are self-employed, you can still set up a SEP and put away even more money. And this goes along with fully funding your 401k if you have one available. I'm not going to say that's the first thing that you should do with your money, but pretty close to it is fund those retirement accounts. Heck, even put the money into an S&P index fund should, I don't want to should on anybody, but it should get you some very significant returns over a long period of time. Of course, when we're investing money, there is no guarantee of profitability, whether it's in an individual stock or in an index fund or any other mutual fund. But, and I do say but, over any sustained period of time, the S&P index as an example, has averaged better than 10% a year for long periods of time. That doesn't, of course, preclude the periods of time like 2022 when the index was down 19%. But last year, 2023, the index was positive, up 24%. There is volatility in investing, and it's not just in stocks. Volatility goes to bonds, and here we go with the Fed. It's still higher for longer. The Fed is still on that mantra. I am and have been providing clear warning on that. The Fed's talk has kept interest rates up and bond prices down. Bond prices move inversely to interest rates. And bond prices, even just looking at the bond indices, have been negative. So I just as soon put money in stocks. I'll leave the bond investing to insurance companies, or I'll say the government, but not for me. And I would suggest not for you, which would lead back to where to put your money into your IRA. Please don't put it into a target dated fund. Those target date funds are fund of funds, so there are some additional costs. And as you get closer to the target date, they are infused very heavily with bond funds, something I do not recommend. Lastly, proxy fight. Big one was Disney, and that ended in favor of the current board versus adding some dissident shareholders who I think would have added to Disney's expertise and would definitely have helped Disney out in their succession plans and even in their business going forward, at least based on the dissident Nelson Peltz's background. Disney still has trouble with streaming, and they have and have had long-term problems with generating money from ESPN. In my estimation, Disney would be well served to consider spinning off ESPN and spinning it off to one of my favorite companies, either Apple or Amazon, who I think would do a much better job of promoting sports. And lastly, big sports weekend with the Final Fours. They should be very, very interesting and keep you glued to your TV set, and many people probably glued to their betting application, which could benefit a little bit more favorite DraftKings. But we'll have to wait and see, because DraftKings is not the only sports betting entity out there, and which would include FanDuel, owned by Flutter, Caesars Bets, WinBet, and Penn Gaming, which has a deal with ESPN Bet. I'll say strap in and stay flexible, but definitely, whatever you do this weekend, fund your IRA.
Excellent advice, as always, Mr. Money Talk. Well, you heard him, GLers. Now is the time for you to pick up the phone and make that call for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation at 952-925-5608, where you always get straight talk and never, ever sugar-coated advice. Josh, as always, thank you so much for the time and the chat. Have a great opening day, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Chris.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.